The federal government announced a major change in defense policy this week, looking to boost military spending in a big way. The government looks to bolster the ranks of the Canadian forces and see billions in purchases of new equipment. I'm Dave Breckenridge, and this is 10-3. David Pugliese, who covers the military for the Ottawa Citizen, joins me to discuss how much the government is going to spend, what kind of equipment we're looking to buy, and whether this squares us with our allies who've been concerned about our level of military spending. Don't forget, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music. I'd love it if you could leave us a rating, a review, and tell your friends about the show. So, David, the Trudeau government made a big commitment to boost military spending this week. And before we get to some of the details on where they'll be spending the money, just how much more money did the government promise will go to defense spending, and how long will it take them to ramp up to that?
Well, they're talking about, an initial $8 billion, and then ramping up. Essentially, you're going to have the defense budget, according to this defense policy update, going from the current $30 billion annually to $50 billion by 2029, 2030.
And so looking at the announcement as a whole, why make this announcement now? Is this something that we were expecting, or is there something else driving the push to increase defense spending?
Well, they started, the Liberal government started its defense policy update almost 2 years ago. And so, they have committed to producing this update. But behind the scenes, well, actually, it's not behind the scenes, it's very vocal. They're getting a lot of pressure from the United States government and NATO allies to spend even more on defense. So it's a lot of pressure, and we're coming up in June. There's going to be festivities, for NATO's anniversary. And so Prime Minister Trudeau couldn't go to that meeting without, without this in hand.
So how close does this get us to our NATO commitments? I understand, I believe it's like 2% of defense, of GDP spent on defense is what our commitment is under the NATO treaty. Does this get us closer to that? And does this spend kind of assuage the concerns of our allies like the US and like NATO?
So it gets us to 1.76% of GDP. Now, the Americans, the American ambassador to Canada has released, a statement. The United States is very happy with this increased spending and such. NATO says, well, it's a good start. The problem is this 2% yardstick, so to speak. So what a lot of the articles don't talk about, and what the analysts don't talk about, is Canada at this point is number 7 when it comes to actually spending defense dollars. So actual hard dollars, not measuring it to GDP. And so the argument in that realm is you should be focused on, what that money is getting you. And so a good example of that is Greece reaches the NATO 2%, yet most of its military capability is centered at countering fellow NATO ally Turkey. So, it's a numbers game. And when you take a look at the actual defense spending of Canada, $30 billion, that's a lot of money. Now, whether it's being spent properly is another question.
Mm-hmm. Looking at jumping from $30 billion to $50 billion. Where is this money going? Is it going to equipment? Is it going to housing? Are we going to try and recruit more soldiers, more personnel? Where does this spend break down here?
So all of what you mentioned. So they want to increase recruitment, bring in more personnel, or bring it up to what the level should be. They want to spend several hundred million dollars on housing for military families and childcare. And then a lot of it is going to be earmarked for equipment. So they're talking about new tactical helicopters, long range missiles for the army. Trudeau even hinted at submarines, new submarines, although that money isn't accounted for. None of this money is accounted for, but that money for new subs isn't outlined in the defense policy update.
Okay. Are subs kind of the area where Canada is most in need of when it comes to equipment? Or I know we just dealt with the fighter jets issue, replacing some of our fleet of fighter jets with new advanced jets. Are subs the next line item in terms of priority, or are there other areas where we're falling short on equipment?
Well, the Air Force is actually pretty good. It's pretty well set up for the future. So the one thing that the Trudeau government did in the last year, they have signed or moved to contract $30 billion of new equipment. So, as you mentioned, the Joint Strike Fighter, F-35, Stealth Fighter, Poseidon surveillance aircraft, a lot of this is being bought by, from U.S. companies. So that's why the Americans are quite happy with the spending. So, you know, things are going along in that realm. Submarines, you know, the Navy would really like to get going on the submarine issue, new subs, but the potential price tag of that is going to be astronomical.
How much could submarines wind up costing us?
Well, if we go with conventional type submarines, we're talking $60 billion, 60 billion. If we go for nuclear, and Trudeau opened that door at the press conference at CFB Trenton the other day, if we did go for nuclear, Australia is going that route. They're looking at a $300 billion price tag. So I don't know where that money's going to come from.
You mentioned in your story that the government is also looking to augment our military cyber operations. What does that entail, and what kind of operations could our military get involved in?
Well, the military would like to get involved in offensive cyber operations, as well as they're already currently protecting their own networks. So different nations have an offensive cyber capability. Canada does some of that, but it's on a case-by-case basis approved by cabinet. The military would like to expand its cyber capabilities, which is a smart thing, because that is going to be, a new battle that is already a new battlefield. The problem with the Canadian forces is, you know, they're bringing in people, and then those people sit there, they get trained, and they sit there for 18 months while they're waiting for security clearances. And so the recruiting system is not effective.
Ultimately, how many more soldiers does Canada feel it needs to kind of hit those numbers? Like, where do we need to get to in terms of having appropriate numbers of soldiers?
Well, they're talking about going to the established levels, which is a little over 100,000 combined reserve and reg force. The trouble is, a lot of people are leaving. Military members are tired of not having proper housing, being moved around all the time. Obviously there's been, concerns about toxic leadership. So you're starting to see people moving out. Now there's interest, young people joining, but what's happened is the recruiting group is ineffective. And so they are not being able to get, the people in quick enough.
We'll be right back. Now, as someone who covers the military regularly and kind of, I think, has a good sense of issues within the Canadian forces, does this announcement address some of the problems that you've been hearing and reporting on when it comes to equipment, personnel, housing, issues like that?
Well, the big problem is, you know, this is a 20-year plan. For this to proceed, the Trudeau government has to be around for 20 years. And this is a problem that all defense policies have. The Conservatives had their, I think it was called Canada First strategy. Well, of course, it didn't survive when the Liberals came in, and the Liberals came up with their own defense policy. So whatever the next government is, whether it's Liberal or Conservative, you know, unless Trudeau's there, there aren't guarantees that this will be followed.
Yeah. And then what about the procurement process? I know you've reported extensively on the fact that military procurement is, like, it's a big problem in Canada. It can be a laborious process. It can bog down projects in red tape. Are there concerns that, say, the submarines that we want to purchase or could hit those same snags?
On all of these equipment projects that are being proposed, that is the main problem. You know, the Canadian Forces and Department of National Defense have not had the knowledge or the personnel power to move these projects forward, to move many of these projects forward. You know, I'll give you an example. The Canadian Surface Combatant, which is the new ships to replace the Halifax class, the Navy's Halifax class frigates, it's 10 years behind schedule. It's gone from, $25 billion to now the estimate is around, it depends who you listen to, but the Parliamentary Budget Officer is pegging it at about $80 billion. So you've got delays and cost overruns.
Lastly, I'm curious, did the government address kind of geopolitical concerns when they talked about, I know we talked about NATO and meeting our targets with NATO, but are there concerns at the federal government level that, you know, Canada could get drawn into conflict or that we at least need to be prepared for that possibility? And so that's why we're looking at making this spend now.
Yeah, I mean, the defense policy update makes mention, of course, of Russia and China. And the other secondary focus is the Arctic. So the concern being mainly economic issues in the Arctic as global warming continues, the Northwest Passage will be eventually opened, all year round. And the Chinese have been looking at expanding in the Arctic. So that is a concern. Now, it's interesting because Prime Minister Harper, when he first came in, he focused entirely on the Arctic, and he was able to use the yardstick, move the yardstick a little bit. But the Canadian military doesn't have a large presence in the Arctic, and the other issue is our infrastructure, both civilian and military, in the Arctic just doesn't cut it.
And lastly, I am curious, because this has kind of been an ongoing issue that you've reported on, just the perception of the Canadian forces. I know you had a piece recently about people not being able to respond to one of our generals' Twitter accounts because of criticism relating to the policy of wokeness in the military. Are there concerns about being able to hit recruitment targets based on the perception of the military, the perception of the federal government, and whether they're actually funding the military properly, and just even stories in the media about, you know, soldiers having to take food donations when they're out on training because there isn't money for their food? Does any of this help address the perception of the Canadian forces, as a lot of people may hold?
Well, there's a couple of things at play. So I wrote that story that you're referencing about the food covert during training. Now, that was a leadership failure. So that's on the Canadian Forces leadership. And it's the same with, I wrote a story last year, our troops deployed to Poland. They didn't have a kitchen there, so they had to go and eat at restaurants. And then the military failed to, reimburse them for months on end. And so, that causes frustration, and people vote with their feet. They leave. So there's that issue, ineffective military leadership. A lot has been made about the, beards and, colored hair and that type of thing. I don't know if that's a big factor. I mean, a lot of people talk about it, but I think the main factor or the main roadblock is getting in people fast enough. And you may recall last year, the head of the Navy, Admiral Topshe, did a video where he was saying that the Navy was hurting. But what he said in that video was interesting. He said the Canadian Forces recruiting group has failed for the last decade to meet the Navy's recruitment targets. And that's quite a damning statement. And that's something, that's not the government doing that. That's the internal military. And so the Canadian Forces and the Department of National Defense has to get its act together and start improving their recruiting.
Yeah. David, always appreciate your time. Appreciate your reporting. Thanks again.
Thank you.
10-3 is produced by Sean Knox. Theme music by Bryce Hall. Thanks to my guest, David Puglaze. More from him at OttawaCitizen.com. I'm Dave Breckenridge. Thanks for listening.